This is The Poet and the Poem from the Library of Congress. I'm Grace Cavalieri. We are with Philip Levine, the 18th Poet Laureate of the United States. And he's here with us to give us a poem.
The Helmet. All the way on the road to Gary, he could see where the sky shone just out of reach and smell the rich smell of work, as strong as money. But when he got there, the night was over. People were going to work and back. The sidewalks were lakes no one walked on. The diners were saying, "Time to eat." So he stopped and talked to a woman who'd been up late making helmets. There are white hands the color of steel. They have put their lives into steel. And if hands could lay down their lives, these hands would be helmets. He and the woman did not lie down, not because she would praise the steel helmet boarding a train for no war, not because he would find the unjeweled crown in a surplus store where hands were sold. They did not lie down face to face because of the waste of being so close. And they were too tired of being each other to try to be lovers. And because they had to sit up straight so they could eat.
That is the voice of Philip Levine. And that poem is characteristic of people who are living and breathing. I love that one. He's opening the literary season here at the library today. And we're kind of interested in knowing how you were notified that you were the Poet Laureate.
I got a phone call. This was in August. Maybe around August 6, 7. And I wasn't home. So there was a message on my answering machine, and it said, it instructed me to call Jim Billington. It was his voice telling me, "I would appreciate a call from you." And he gave me his number. And then I thought, I'll bet he wants my advice on who should be the next Poet Laureate. And I'm running through my head, who would it be? How about Galway Connell, Gerald Stern, Adrienne Rich? I'm thinking of these names of worthy poets. I call him up, and he told me who he was, that he was the librarian of the Library of Congress, and he invited me. "I would like you," he said, "to be the next Poet Laureate. Would you do that? Would you serve?" And I probably waited all of 11 seconds thinking, why not? My wife was doing something or other. And when I hung up, and I'd been on the phone 15 minutes, and it was early in the day because I'm in California. So the time, there was a 3-hour time difference. And usually nobody calls me as early as, say, 9 o'clock or 8 or something. My wife said to me, "Who was that?" And I said, "That was a Mr. James Billington. He's the Librarian of Congress. Why did he call you?" And I walked over to her and hugged her and said, "You are being hugged by the next Poet Laureate of the United States of America."
Oh, that is the best hug.
And she jumped for joy. So the repayment was there. No matter what else happens this year with the laureateship, that moment of her pleasure in my selection was payment enough.
And just think how nice it is that he was excited to make the call as you were to receive the call. I think that's the nicest part of this. It must be very nice for him to make that call. Here is who he is. Philip Levine was born in Detroit in 1928, received degrees from Wayne State University, the University of Iowa, and in 1957 was awarded the Jones Fellowship in Poetry at Stanford. He's written more than 20 books. We'll be talking about those. But today he's ours. Could we have another poem?
Sure. Let me read this. This has to do with my hitchhiking life. I once hitchhiked from Detroit to Birmingham, Alabama, and let me out at a highway stop. The trip kept going. I finally, although I didn't hitchhike there, wound up in Cuba. This is before Castro. And then spent a while there and finally moseyed my way back to Detroit in time to finish my final year at Wayne University, now called Wayne State, at Bessemer. 19 years old and going nowhere, I got a ride to Bessemer and walked the night road toward Birmingham, passing dark groups of men cursing the end of a week, like every week. Out of town, I found a small grove of trees, high, narrow pines, and I sat back against the trunk of one as the first rains began slowly. South, the lights of Bessemer glowed as though a new sun rose there. But it was midnight, and another shift tooled the rolling mills. I must have slept a while, for someone else was there beside me. I could see his cigarette's soft light, and once a hand grazed mine, man or woman's I never knew. Slowly I could feel the darkness fill my eyes, and the dream that came was of a bright world where sunlight fell on long, even rows of houses, and I looked down from great height at a burned world I believe I never had to enter. When the true sun rose, I was stiff and wet, and there beside me was the small white proof that someone rolled and smoked and left me there unharmed, truly untouched. 100 yards off, I could hear cars on the highway. A life was calling to be lived, but how and why, I had still to learn.
Philip Levine of the Library of Congress. The detail of the cigarette in that poem makes that poem work. It really turns on that. And you know what? Every time you have a poem, there's one shot, sunlight fell, or the warm spring rains come in from Ohio. There's always one element of faith or something to love in your poems. I was wondering, who gave you the ability to trust yourself to do this?
I did. I gave myself this ability.
To trust yourself?
Mm-hmm. It took a while, but I don't see how it could come from anywhere else but yourself. I started composing what I hoped were poems when I was about 14.
Mm.
And it became something I did, something that defined my days, and something that made the days significant, if in fact I did write something I liked. Of course, most days I don't. I mean, I write a lot, and a lot winds up in the shredder. I don't shred it. I mean, I just ball it up and throw it in the wastebasket. But the idea of permission, if you need permission, you're kind of in trouble.
But uncertainty is with the writer every day, so that when you become certain that's the path you want to follow, that's a pretty big decision. At some point, I think you said, this is the way I'm going. And I was just thinking about that moment.
It required daily decisions. This is what I'm going to do. And again, and again, and again, and again. Mm. Decisions. No. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that job because it takes too much out of me. For example, when I was young, I got a job in advertising. And I lasted less than a week. Because I realized what I was being asked to do was to lie. And I thought, if I betray language, language would betray me. And I quit, and I got a job in Wyandotte, Michigan, working at a chemical plant at great height. And I didn't keep that one too long because I realized I wasn't good at great height. I needed solid ground under my two big feet.
This is Philip Levine of the Library of Congress. He's talking about when he was on the road at 19. Did you know Richard Wilbur rode the rails also at that age? I'm just blown away by Richard Wilbur. I just can't see him on a train boxcar. But he did. And there were some great poems that came out of that.
Well, like you, I don't see Dick doing that. I mean, but I'm glad to hear he did it. He's a marvelous poet.
Marvelous.
And was he able to kill a boy?
1989. Good. He was the first year when Congress legislated as poet laureate. Before that, we had poetry consultants.
Yeah.
Which were, in fact, the same as a laureate.
Well.
So he was wonderful.
It's right that he was the first.
It was. And I would love to read your awards. It'd be fun. Listen to this, everybody. Poet Laureate now in 2011. Philip Levine. Poetry Prize for Poetry. National Book Award. Ruth Bailey Poetry Prize. Levinson Prize. American Book Award. National Book Award. Two Guggenheims. National Book Critics Circle Award for Ashes, which I'm glad it got it. That was good. Harriet Monroe Memorial Prize. Lenore Marshall Poetry Prize. American Academy of Arts and Letters. And the Frank O'Hara Prize. We just leave it at that. Is it fun to hear?
It's fine.
You
yeah,
probably
fine.
Forgot it.
No, yeah, I did. But I hear him reading all that, and many of these awards come with money. And I say to myself, how come I don't have much money? What did I spend it on? And of course, I know what I spent it on. I spent it on not working, buying time.
Well, you're here, and you're ours today, and the time you're going to spend for the next year is going to be a highlight in your life. Could we have another poem?
Sure. This is a poem that tries to be both lovely and menacing. Detroit Greek Shop poem. Four bright steel crosses.
Thank you.